Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
How many of you can tell me today that God has moved in your life? Yeah. Amen. He's worth praise, right? He's worth praise. And he's going to do it again. And he's going to do more. Before I get started in the message today, I have some preliminaries. We have our missionaries in the house. Scott and Isabel, Stan, good to have you today. Woo! Pretty awesome. All the way from Mexico. Good. That's the only word I know that sounds like Spanish. So, anyway, now I do know taco. I know a few of those, but did my sister-in-law make it today? There you are, my sister-in-law Susan Howell is here with us today. Good to have you. And we have people from all the way from Maryland. It's Vicki Logan's sister and niece, Dorothy and Carlotta. So good to have y'all. Let's see, we're looking at more. We had somebody from, I think she joined the church. We had somebody to drive 200 miles this morning to get here. Yeah, you see, the little ones are hiding. He's talking about us, Mama. He's talking about us. But let's see, what else have I got to do here? So Pastor Charlie invited some friends, and they're here on the second row. It's good to have you, ladies. So good to have you. It really is. Let's see, is there anything else? Yes, one more. Don't want to forget this one. I'm scanning. If you're here, raise your hand. I don't mean y'all. Let's see. I know they're here some. I see them. Let me introduce to you today Mr. and Mrs. Anthony Logan. Please stand. Stand up. Wow. What is it now? 1 week? 1 week? Stand up, Brenda. You've been married to me for 55 years. Yeah. 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 She had it made for 55 years. I think me and Terry's probably going to hit that marriage class pretty soon. We're probably both going to need it. Probably will need it. Let's see. Well, visitors, did we talk to the visitors today? We didn't. Visitors, if you're here, just raise your hand and say hello, Pastor. I want to see you. If you're a visitor, first time visitor. Anybody? Yeah. I got three here. Yeah. Do I have any over here? Yeah, first-time visitors. I'd like to meet you at the end of the service. I have a gift for you. But thank you for praying for me for the weeks of my being sort of out of pocket due to sickness. And it's been a difficult time at times, but how many of you know that during your difficult times, He has a way of drawing you closer to Him. I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, He maketh me to lie down. That went right over your head, so I'm gonna stop the comedy routine right now and get into the message. I want to talk to you a little bit today about some of the things we talked last week. You remember we talked about last week, who is Jesus? And he was asking the disciples, y'all remember that? He's asking the disciples, what's the word on the street about me? What do they say? Who do they say that I am? And they say, oh, I say you're a prophet, and John the Baptist maybe, Jeremiah maybe, Elijah maybe. And then he turned to them and said, now, who do you say that I am? That's found over in Matthew 16. Who do you say that I am? And it's very important that we answer that question from a foundation that we know for sure. That's where, when he said the word, who do you say that I am? And we talked about that last week. I'm not going to go through all that. But he's saying, what can you affirm for sure, without a doubt, who I am? See, he didn't ask them to just chatter. He didn't want to chit-chat. He wasn't asking just for a casual conversation. He was asking them to reach deep and say, who do you say that I am? And we all have to answer that question. Who do we say that he is? But and you remember Peter said, Peter was like, I know. So he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, thou art the anointed one, thou art the Messiah. He's making a declaration, thou art the Messiah. In other words, we've been looking for the Messiah, and you are him. And then it says, the Son of the living God, and that in Hebrew, it means that you are God. So they said, you are the Messiah, and you are God. You have to think about that. And well, like I said, we discussed some of that last week, but I want to just sort of brief you with that just a little. And Jesus said, Peter, he knew that Peter did not understand what he was saying. And he didn't. How do we know that? Because Jesus said, you didn't get this from man. You didn't get this from flesh and blood. You got this straight from the Father. And knowing that it's coming straight from the Father, he knows that Peter don't fully understand what he's saying, but he said it. Because why? It was revealed to him from heaven, from God, who Jesus really was. Then we go on, and he says that, you know, he tells the disciples that he's going to die. He won't be long. He'll be handed over to the Pharisees and all those guys, those scribes and priests, and they'll kill him. But he'll raise from the dead on the third day. And then that's when Peter said, I know. And then he took God. You have to think about this just for a moment. He just called him God. Then he took God aside to correct him. That's the reason I know he didn't know what he was saying. And Jesus told him, he said, you didn't get this from man. This didn't come out of flesh and blood. This came from heaven. This came from the Father. And then he took him aside and said, God forbid it, Lord. So he's calling him Lord, but he just got through saying, it's not going to happen what you said. And yet he's Lord. I tell you what, the Bible is amazing to me when you get to looking at the reality of what they're saying. And they're mere men following Jesus, and they're calling him God. So they're laying down beside God. They're eating dinner with God. They're walking with God, and everywhere they're going somewhere with God. So you can see their struggle. You can see the reality of their struggle of calling him God, calling him the true Messiah, the only Messiah. And then he goes on, and Jesus says this, and this is where we're sort of going to land today. Jesus said, he looks at Peter, and he says, get behind me, Satan. He just got through saying something that he heard the Father say. And then moments later, Jesus is actually looking at Peter and saying, get behind me, Satan. Now, he's not calling Peter Satan. He's calling the influence that is in Peter and who it was Satan, influencing him. He goes on, he says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You need to understand that what we say a lot of things, if it isn't truth, it will be a stumbling block to the pathway that we're going or others are going. When we're not speaking the truth, we can become a stumbling block to where we're going and to where others are going. That's what Jesus is saying here. You're a stumbling block to me. Why is that? Why is that? Why is that a stumbling block? He goes on and says, for you are not setting your mind, you're not setting your thoughts on God's interest, but your thoughts are attached to man's interest. So why? How do you know that? Peter didn't want him to die. Peter didn't want him to go because he had all these things. He said, no, he's going to conquer Rome. He's going to be their conquering king. He's going to be all of this and all that. So that's where his thoughts are. So he's in a disagreement with what Jesus is saying about his own death and what he's about to go through. Y'all get that? So he's saying this, but see, we understand that when we say things that God is not saying, it will cause a stumbling block for other people. How many do you believe that people are hearing a lot of voices? And I'm not saying crazy. I'm just saying they're hearing a lot of voices that's not God. How many of you have heard voices that wasn't God? Voices like you're a victim. They're never going to treat you right. They're never going to give you a shot. You'll never make it. You won't. That is not God's voice. That's the enemy's voice. The enemy wants us to believe what he says and pull us away from what God has said or is saying. So when we begin to agree with what the enemy is saying, we become stumbling blocks to our own journey. And we can become, because we look at things that way, we feel things that way, we're thinking that way, we'll cause others to stumble as well. That word stumbling block also means to offend. Let me ask you this, have you ever offended anybody? Let's see how many honest folk we got in here. Okay, all right. So you have offended people. How many of you have been offended by others? Now it's everybody. So it's like, no. But I get it. An offense is a stumbling block to people, because the Lord says that when we are offended, our love will grow cold. It's what he said, and that's what it does. Our love will grow cold when we become offended. So we don't need to, and Francis Frenchman does a great teaching on the unoffendable heart. That's what I want. How about you? The unoffendable heart. No matter what you do, I'm unoffendable. Jesus was unoffendable. So you begin to see what's happening here. He said, okay, there's a stumbling block. So we need to make sure that our thoughts, what we think, our affections are set on God's interest and not man's interest. It's true. That's what he's wanting us to do. So if you'll go to Corinthians, I want to take another trip around the thing here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is saying this, verse 7, he said, and because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. See, Jesus said, upon this rock, upon this revelation that you have, what you're getting from the Father, I'll build my church. Who do you think's building the church? A pastor? A denomination? Who's building his church? Now, they may be building a church, but they may not be building his church, because they're not doing what he wants. Are y'all getting this? He said, I will build my church. I want us to be a house, a church that Jesus is building. Amen. Now, what does that look like? It looks like that we will grow and become like him to such a way that the gates of hell will not even be able to withstand what we're bringing. That would have been a great time to shout. The gates of hell will not be able to withstand what his church that he's building, what we're bringing. Really, they won't be able to stand it. See, but if we think, here we go, if we think we won't, then we're already thinking man's interest and not God's. Because Jesus just got through saying in the scriptures here that he'll build his church and it will be one that will that hell will not be able to overtake. I don't care what the world looks like. I mean, I do, but it's not the interest that I have. The interest that I have is the kingdom of God. There's a lot of things coming. There's a lot of things that's already come. There's a lot of things that's happening today that is corrupt, evil, and all that kind of stuff. But you need to understand something. When we lose the ability to recognize evil, we will easily say evil is good and good is evil. Why is that? We have not recognized evil. When we lose the ability to recognize evil, we will be prone to say, oh, that's it. No, that's good. Though this is good. No, that's really evil. That's what the Bible says. There'll be a day that comes that says that people will say, they will call good evil, and they'll call evil good. We're here. We're there. We don't have to wait on that time. It's here. It's here. So how are we going to prevent that from happening? We have to be people of the light, people of the truth, people who know the truth and are changed by the truth to the point that no matter what happens, I'm changed by this truth that God has put inside me that I have believed, that I have embraced with my life, and it won't be taken away, and this is where I'm going to stand no matter what. That's what it takes. It takes a people that is going to be so embraced with truth that we'll be able to recognize when it isn't true. We'll be able to recognize the evil that, I mean, you know, there's so many things that the enemy hides in our thoughts a lot of times to try to be able to trick us into thinking this is really what God wants us to do, and God does not want us to do that. See, the thing about the tree of knowledge that he put in the garden, what was it? It was the tree of, it was what? Tree of knowledge, but it's a tree of good and evil. People think, no, it's a tree of evil. No, it's a tree of good and evil, which means there's some good things that God don't want us to be doing. Nah, but that's what it says. See, it may be good, but it's not God. This is a good thing to do, but it's not a God thing to do. Okay. So over in Corinthians, we begin to understand that revelations that Paul is getting, they're great revelations that he's getting. And he said, but he has a tendency to exalt himself. He said, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself. Now, let me ask you something. Do you ever have a tendency to take up for yourself? And exalt, you know, somebody just sort of take up for yourself, exalt yourself, and he's off. Take up for yourself, you know, and then you'll want to build your own self up in front of others. That's self-exaltation. That's not what we're supposed to do. He told us to learn from him because he is meek and humble. Humble. So anyway, he said, I have that tendency. So there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. No, Terry, that's not buffet. I know. He uses that sometimes. But to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. All these revelations that he's given. So he was given a messenger from Satan. Now, that word messenger, people think this this thorn in the flesh was a sickness. Messenger in the Bible was used probably about, I think, 184 times. Not one time was it used for sickness or infirmities. Not once. It's either angel or messenger. Now, why is that? I'm sorry. Why is that important? Did you say something? Why is that so important? It's so important because we got so many people said, well, I got a thorn. I'm sick and I got a thorn in the flesh. My sickness the other week was not a thorn in the flesh, according to Scripture. I had an affliction. I did. But I didn't have a thorn in the flesh. How do I know that? Because he said a messenger, which was either an angel or a messenger. Of Satan. He gave me a thorn of flesh to keep me from exalting myself. I went to the Lord three times to have it depart from me, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. How many of you want the power of God? Now, not so many now. But see, I understand. But see, we have to understand it, that if we want the power of God, there's some things that we have to go through in order to get it. So we see, he said, my grace is sufficient. My ability that I've given you is sufficient. He said, for power is perfected in weakness. He said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness than the power of Christ, that the power of Christ dwell in me. I want him to dwell in me, and I want his power to dwell in me. So I'll boast about it. See, your testimony is for your testimony is the place that we testify of God's goodness, no matter what we're going through. Y'all hear me? That's the reason he says about his grace. His grace is enough to be able to change how we think about things and how we see things and see things God's way. And we're able to, even though we're going through a difficult, hard time, we can testify of God's goodness and God's grace in our lives. It's true. Now, that's not the only reason that this is not sickness. See, over in Numbers, see, when you want to search the meaning of things, search in the Bible and see if you find it anywhere else. This thing about the thorn of flesh is in Numbers 33. He said, you're going, Numbers 33, 54, you don't have to turn there. You can just write it down. He said, you shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. There's an inheritance that you have. But if you do not drive out all the inhabitants of the land that is before you and you let them remain, they will become pricks to your eyes and they will become thorns in your sides or become thorns in your flesh. He's talking about people that are against the truth, harassing you because you stand for the truth. That is what Paul is talking about. The thorn in the flesh is not, people said, well, it was his eyes, well, it was his sickness. It wasn't an affliction. It was the harassment of the enemy that was sent by the enemy to harass him to the place that he had over in Corinthians also. He was beaten. He said he was flogged three times. He was beaten with rods and he was left out for dead. It's all these things he lists that he went through. That's the affliction. That's the harassment. That's the thorn in the flesh that he is receiving. And God is saying, my grace is sufficient for you to go through this and give me glory while you're in it. Anyway. And then Judges chapter 2 says the same thing about you didn't tear down the idols, so therefore I'm gonna let these people are still going to harass you, and there'll be thorns in your flesh. There'll be thorns in your sides because you did not get rid of the idols that I told you to get rid of. Okay. So we need to recognize the enemy. We need to recognize what's going on. We need to recognize what God is doing in our lives and what the enemy is doing. The enemy wants to capture. Did you know that your mind is his target? Your thinking is his target. The way you think is his target. That's what he attacked Eve with, her thinking. What did God, really say? Did God say this? Did God say that? So the thinking was his target. So our minds are the target, and I've got to rush because I want to make sure we hit a couple of things here that he says over in Romans. He says, I'm not in that big a rush. I really need to tell you this. It's so important. Isaiah says this. He said, there'll come a time when those will call good evil and evil good, and they will substitute darkness for light. And they'll substitute light for darkness. They'll call darkness light, and they'll call light darkness. That time's coming. They'll substitute bitter for sweet, and they'll substitute sweet for bitter, because they think it's right in their own eyes. We're living in a day that people think, just because they think it's right in their own eyes, that it's right. Not true. Including government. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not being political today. I'm just saying that when you begin to say this is evil, when it's good, there's something wrong. And you're saying this is good when it's evil, there's something wrong. Corruption will breed corruption. And then Isaiah 59 says, there'll be a time when justice is turned back, righteousness stands far away, truth has stumbled in the street, and integrity cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking. And he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. He who turns from evil makes himself a target. He who turns from evil makes himself a target. But I heard, my grace is sufficient for you. Your mind may be a target, you may be a target, but I want you to still see, we really need to understand that the Bible says that Jesus had a special anointing because he hated evil. We can't play around with evil. He said he loved righteousness and he hated evil. Everybody say the word hate. He hated evil. Then he said, well, it's evil, but it's okay. No, you have to hate evil if you're going to be like Jesus. If you want the oil of gladness, the anointing of gladness upon you, you're going to have to hate evil. Not hate people. We got to love people, but we got to hate evil. If this policy, if this thing is evil, hate it. If it's righteous, love it. Bible said he hated evil, he loved righteousness, and his father anointed him with the oil of gladness. Okay. See, that's the part that I was going to skip. Glad I didn't skip it. Glad I didn't skip it. The Bible says those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh. That's over in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. And those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. There's a mindset that needs to happen in every single one of us. Paul told us over in Romans, he said, if you want transformation to happen in your life, you're going to have to renew your mind. transform. Do you want to transform from being just a Christian that does hardly anything to transform you into a Christian that's going to follow Him, do things and do extraordinary things and do things? See, that's transformation. That's growth. That's growing up to be like Him. Not to remain a baby being born again and on the bottle for 20 years. Do you hear me? I got my salvation, but I'm not growing and I'm not impacting the kingdom. No, you got you. That's not the way He intended for us to walk out His life on this earth. He wants us to walk out in life on this earth thinking what He's thinking, with our minds in alignment with Him. And as we do that, it transforms us to the place that the Bible says that you shall know the will of God. We've got people all the time saying, what's the will of God? What's the will of God? What's the will of God? And I said, go read Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Do you hear what I'm saying? This thing works. Do you know why it works? I'm gonna tell you why it works. Go to John. Go to John chapter 13, and I'll do my best to close. John chapter 13. Now, the feast of the Passover, it was before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knowing, underline Jesus knowing. If you mark in your Bible, if you don't mark in your Bible, put that one on the shelf, get you another one that you can mark in. Jesus knowing that His hour had come and that He should depart from this earth. Jesus knowing. And go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. During the supper, the devil had already put it into Judas Iscariot's heart to betray Him. During supper, the enemy has already put it in Judas's heart to betray Jesus. Verse 3, Jesus knowing. Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into His hand. And He had come forth, and He had come forth from God and was going back to God. Rose from supper, laid aside His garments, taking a towel, girded Himself, and He poured out water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now I want you to see about three or four things inside here. And here's what they are. You get a glimpse of what was on Jesus' mind. What was He thinking? What we think matters. If we think in agreement with what God is saying and doing, then we're going to be fine. If we're thinking according to the flesh, according to the enemy, according to something else other than God, then we might be in trouble. Jesus, knowing, shows us exactly what He's thinking. All things, number one, all things have been given into My hands. What's He thinking about? He's about to go where? He's about to be betrayed. He's about to be beaten. He's about to be scourged. He's about to be speared. He's about to go through all of this stuff. He's about to be put on the cross. He's about to be nailed to the cross. He's about to be pierced in His side. He's about to go through every single bit of that. And He's facing death. He's about to go through every bit of that. What's on His mind? What is He thinking? What He thinks matters. Because he's telling you what He's thinking. The Father's given me all things. Everything's been handed into My hands. Now, let me tell you something about that. He already had it at the beginning. Everything belonged to Him at the beginning. Yes? Everything belonged to him at the beginning. Coming to earth, he laid it all down. You got to catch this. He laid it all down to become a man. He laid everything down to become a man. Now the Son of Man, listen to this. Now the Son of Man, God has given everything into. So what's on his mind? He's about to go through something, about to go through the hardest time of his life. What's on his mind? Everything's been given to me. Everything's been given to me. Where's his thoughts at? His thoughts are on the Father. His thoughts are on heaven. His thoughts are on what God is doing. Not what the enemy's about to do, but what God is doing. Everything's been given to me. Let me ask you, what has God given you? All things that have been given to me, I give to you. Do you hear? So no matter what we go through, you think about what God's given you. That's number one. He was thinking about what has God has put in his hand. Number two, he came from the Father. He had come from the Father, come forth from the Father, from God. What's the second thing he's thinking about? I came from heaven. I came from the Father. I came from God. That's his identity. That's who he is. We can go through things what we need to be thinking about. I said, I'm a child of God. Look at what God's given me already. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. You're born of a woman, and that's the reason you're in the flesh. That's the reason you have it. But born of the Spirit, you're born from heaven. Born of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the reason he said, that's the reason he tells us that his kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. As I almost fail. Brenda tells me, says, listen, when things like that happen, you ain't got to tell everybody. And I return my return to her, yes, I do. Yes, I do. That's just me. See, heaven comes to earth. Thy kingdom come on earth. And part of that, how he did that, is because he birthed us from the Spirit of God. We're born again, a whole new creature, a whole new, and from heaven. So when you start going through that, our mind needs to be, what has God given me? What's God put in my, what has God done for you already? What has God done for you when? What has he given you? And then you think, okay, where did I come from? I was born again of the Spirit of God. Yeah, I was born of woman, but I was born again of the Spirit of God that never dies and never gets defeated. Never gets defeated. Well, I don't think that. Well, then that's the reason we get defeated. See, this is what Jesus is thinking about. He's thinking about, and then not only that, he says, and the third thing is, and I'm going back. And when I do die, I'm going home. Now, that's three of them. You want to know the fourth one? Here it comes. He said, and he set aside his garments and taken up a towel. He girded himself and he poured out water into the basin and he washed the disciples' feet. What's going on here? He said, hey, listen to this. He said, I got everything that God got. I got everything. God's given to me. He's put it all into my hands. Everything that he is, everything that he has is mine. Come on. It's like, it's mine. He said, and not only that, I came from God. I came from the Spirit of God. And not only that, said, when I do die, I'm going home. That's where I'm going back to. And there's nobody going to stop it. And then number four, he is so secure in everything that he just said, he gets a towel around himself and kneels down and begins to wash. He begins to serve others in the midst of where he's headed. He begins to serve others because God's been speaking to him. He knows the word. He is the word. The Lord's been speaking to him. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm secure in all of this, and now I'm going to serve. One last scripture, and we'll go. Philippians 4, verse 8. Y'all know where I'm headed. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things right, whatsoever thing is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good report, and if there be any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. So when you're going through a difficult time, you're going through a hard time, you get this Bible, you get the Bible, you get that verse, and you start thinking about, all right, what's true? And let me start thinking about that. Do you hear me? What's true? What's true? You know, I tell you what, one of the things you can start thinking about, if you're married, you can start thinking about your spouse. I think about, Brent, I know that woman. Been with her 58 years. We dated 3 years before we was married. But no, thank you, but you done that. But that's fine. No. So you think about her, and I think about the times that she has been so good to me when I wasn't so good. Taking care of me when I needed taking care of. Being there for me when I needed her to be there. I think about that. You know, that's true. That's true. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you may be going through a hard time in a relationship, but you think back long enough and you begin to see, that's a good woman. That's a good man. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, well, start picking those out and start thinking things that are that. And he says, let your mind settle in on these things, and it will change things for you and I. Amen. Why? Because we're thinking about what. See, that's what exactly what Jesus is doing. Jesus is thinking about what's true. He's doing the very thing that he's telling us to do. He's doing the same thing, and we need to follow him in doing it. Amen. Think on these things. What you think on matters. Your thoughts are just seeds that leads to actions. So is it going to be weeds, or is it going to be something that's fruitful? That's the challenge for all of us today. The enemy is out there targeting your mind and your thinking, mind and your brain, wanting us to think the things that are not of God. And he'll throw things at us all the time. But God is saying, no, I'm here. And what I say is true. And you think on what I told you. You think on what I said. Because if when you think that, you'll sow the seeds of doing things that I want you to do. All right, let's stand. He said, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. How many of you have mind battles going on in your life today? This message is for you. This message is for me. This message is for you. Go to the Bible, pick up in Philippians, and you pick some things, and you begin to think on those things. And he said, and think about it, and then practice it. He said, and the God of peace. See, when it's all crazy right here, it's not peaceful. But he wants us to be peaceful. When we're rattled, we can't help others. Do you hear me? When you and I are rattled here, we can't help others because we can't even think straight. So get the word out. Begin to pick one of those up, whatever it is, and you just begin. I tell you what, let this coming week, you pick one every week to start thinking about, to meditate on, and see what God does. Amen? Amen. Does anybody in here need to be born again? Somebody may say, so, well, that was pretty blunt. Well, that's what Jesus was. You must be born again. All right. Is everybody okay? What's tonight?
VBS.
Say it loud.
VBS.
Pray for them kids. I think we got close to 100 already signed up. Which means we'll probably have close to 120. That's what that usually means. I love you guys, I really do. I'm going to let you out early. Lord, we love you today. We thank you. We thank you for our visitors. We thank you for the people that drove 200 miles to get here today. And Lord, we just thank you for everyone here. And we just worship you. And we ask you, Father, that you'll take what we've heard today and we will begin to think through and begin to set our thinking, set our minds on your interest and not on the interest of man. Help us do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He's back. God bless y'all.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.